The Loch Ness Monster by George Laycock. In 1938, a tugboat captain was steering his boat across Loch Ness. Everything seemed to be in order. The sky was cloudy, just as it is much of the time around Loch Ness. The water was rough from the wind. The tug plowed on mile after mile, its engines laboring normally. The captain was not thinking about monsters. He didn't believe in Nessie anyhow. He made this plain enough to anyone who asked him if he'd ever seen the beast. Then, beside the boat, a creature like nothing the captain had ever seen before stuck its long, humped back out of the water. It had a long, slender neck and a little head. The monster rushed ahead, gained speed on the tug, and disappeared far out in front of the boat. This was enough to change the captain's mind. As far as he was concerned, Nessie was real after all. Other sightings even included an observation by a driver who saw Nessie in the beam of his headlights on a dark night as the monster crossed the highway near the lock. These stories were told and retold. Word of Nessie spread around the world. This did a marvelous thing for Scotland. Tourists began to visit Loch Ness, hoping for a glimpse of the elusive lake monster. Tourism can be good for a country's economy. Nessie, real or not, became the most valuable animal in all Scotland. But the lecturer who was to tell us about the Loch Ness monster that night in Oxford, Ohio, had brought scientific methods to search for Nessie, and people were eager to hear his message. All the seats were filled, and students stood around the walls and sat in the aisles to listen to the story Robert H. Rhines had to tell. Dr. Rhines, president of the Boston Academy of Applied Science, led his first scientific expedition to Loch Ness in 1970. He took along modern sonar equipment and used this to see into the murky depths. Sonar works by sending high-intensity sound impulses into the water and measuring the echoes sent back as the sound waves bounce off the bottom or off objects between it and the bottom. It can reveal the depth of objects in the water, their size, and whether or not they are moving. That summer, the sonar equipment showed the researchers important facts. There were large moving objects in the loch. Also, there were abundant fish to feed monsters. Dr. Rhines, meanwhile, was consulting with his colleagues, searching for still better equipment for gathering information about the monster of Loch Ness. He worked with Dr. Harold E. Edgerton, who, as a professor at Massachusetts Institute of Technology, had pioneered in the development of high-speed underwater photography. Dr. Edgerton had also developed remarkable strobe lights for making pictures in dingy water. Now we designed a system of lights Dr. Rhines might use to obtain close-up pictures of Loch Ness. Dr. Rhines linked his camera to the sonar and set it so that he would begin taking pictures automatically as soon as the large objects passed through the sonar field. It would continue to make pictures every 15 seconds as long as the sonar told it to. For their first test, the crew of the Monster Seekers chose the bay where Nessie had most often been sighted. They carefully cleaned the camera lenses, then began lowering it gently toward the lake bottom. Divers checked it there and found it clean and ready to make monster pictures. Another camera was suspended under the research boat and pointed downward into the dark water. All that was needed now was to wait for Nessie to come nosing around. But a strange thing happened. The lens of the camera on the bottom of the loch was suddenly covered with sand, apparently kicked onto it by some large frightened creature. Had Nessie been there and kicked up the silt? That camera, with its sand-covered lens, made no pictures, but the other camera, hanging beneath the boat, was still in working order. It yielded pictures that to some looked plainly like parts of a huge unknown monster swimming in the water. These color pictures were perhaps the best evidence yet that there really is a Nessie. In 1975, Dr. Rhines and his crew were back in Scotland with still better photographic equipment, and the pictures they took were among those shown to the audience in Oxford. One famous picture, believed by some to be Nessie, was made in 1934 by a noted physician who was vacationing on Loch Ness. It showed a large, dark creature swimming on the surface. Its long, slender neck and small head stuck out of the water. No one was ever able to prove that this picture had been faked. Neither could anyone suggest a reason why the photographer would want to set up such a hoax. But this picture, like others made later, were rather indistinct. So for that matter, were those made by Dr. Rhines and his crew in 1972 and 1975. But sitting in the darkened auditorium, we saw the head of a monster in murky water as it filled the screen before us. It was lumpy and appeared to have a wide mouth where the mouth should be. It also seemed to have two small horns on the top of its head. But perhaps those were not horns. Some believe that they may instead have been breathing tubes. This supports the theory that Nessie is a huge reptile that must come to the surface to breathe. Another picture revealed the large angular object that could have been a flipper, 4 to 6 feet across. It was attached to the side of what may have been the body of Nessie. But the research team also wanted to know more about the nature of the lake deep below the surface. They hoped to learn whether there were really places where large creatures could hide. This search was concentrated on Iroquois Bay, where Nessie had been most often reported. On the research vessel Narwhal, the scientists cruised back and forth over the bay, taking soundings and pictures and transferring the information to a map. For the first time, they began to understand the truth about this arm of Loch Ness. Underwater, along both sides of the bay, were deep hidden ravines, rocky canyons and caves, dark recesses far below the surface. This excited the research team. The hiding places made the whole story of Nessie more believable. Nessie, it was agreed, could cruise about down there among those dark caves without sending a ripple to the surface. This is also the area in which one earlier investigator heard strange underwater sounds the year before, tapping sounds that no biologist has yet been able to successfully identify. These are the bits of evidence that help convince a growing number of people that there really is some large animal living deep in Loch Ness. Studying the accumulated evidence, Dr. George R. Zug, curator of amphibians and reptiles at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C., said, "I started as a skeptic. Now I believe there is a population of large animals in the loch. I don't have any idea what they are." But he is convinced that research should continue and that the mystery of the Loch Ness Monster should be solved. Another scientist calling for more such research is Dr. Alfred W. Crompton, professor of biology at Harvard University. He too believes that the evidence points to a large aquatic animal living in the Loch Ness. What kind of animal this might be is little more than a guess. The most frequent speculation is that Nessie is an ancient reptile, a plesiosaur, believed extinct for 50 million years or more. This is not the only such monster reported from deep lakes over the years. For more than half a century, people around Montana's Flathead Lake have thought there might be something very large and unidentified living in the depths of that cold lake. Indians told the earliest white people about this monster. The monster of Flathead Lake is said to be at least 25 feet long and uniformly black, and to swim on the surface, sometimes creating huge waves even when the rest of the lake is calm. In 1922, scientists in Argentina were choosing sides on the question of whether there could be a similar monster in Patagonia. An American mining engineer was among those who had sighted such a creature. What he described had the size, outline, and features of the ancient plesiosaurs. But there has been little heard of this population of monsters in recent times. And if there were indeed there, there may by now have become extinct. The mystery locked in the depths of Loch Ness may be closer to an answer than ever before. Dr. Rhines and Sir Peter Scott of England have even given Nessie a proper scientific name. Nessiteras rhombopteryx, meaning Ness marvel with a diamond-shaped fin. Some believe that science will soon solve the ancient mystery. Meanwhile, officials in Scotland have taken steps to protect Nessie. They warn that their famous monsters, if they really are out there in the cold waters of Loch Ness, must be among the world's most endangered wildlife. Anyone harming or even teasing a Loch Ness monster can be arrested.